Lecture 19, Assyrian Trade Networks.
For the first two centuries or so of the second millennium BC, no single ruler or city led Mesopotamia. We've taken advantage of this break in the sources to study aspects of daily life, what life was like in the city, what people were eating and drinking. Now we will turn to an unusually specific study of merchant activity conducted in the early second millennium by traders from Assur. The city of Assur is on the Tigris River, and at this time is a central trading post that connected routes from southern Mesopotamia west to the Mediterranean. Later on, it will become the capital city of a large empire. The documents of the Old Assyrian period, so-called in contrast to the Neo-Assyrian era of the first millennium BC, are focused solely on private trade rather than political leadership. These sources allow us to study trade as a private enterprise rather than as part of a statewide bureaucracy, which is really how we've been looking at trade up to this point. The old Assyrian records recording this merchant activity are the most detailed and extensive records for any period or any region of the ancient world. The 20,000 or so tablets that comprise this evidence were found at an outpost of Assyrian trade, Kanesh, in central Anatolia. Its modern name is Kultepe, and the site has been excavated since the mid-20th century by Turkish archaeologists. Within this foreign city, the Assyrian merchants functioned independently in a karum, which is the Assyrian word for port or colony. Karum also seems to be used to describe any type of marketplace or harbor. So we can think of it as an independently functioning sector of a city with its own economic, legal, and social organization that is kept separate from the local government, sort of like an embassy is today in the modern era. The Karum of Kanesh was the largest of several Assyrian karums, and the smaller karums would report directly to the Kanesh administrators. They, in turn, would have direct contact with the Assyrian king, and more often, the city assembly of Assur. So Kanesh is really the center point of this large trade route. The karum at Kanesh was a lower city of sorts, physically separate from the mound that marks the area where the local Anatolian population lived. This physical distance did not prevent intermarriage between Assyrian merchants and local women, and we shouldn't think of it as a distinct social separation. Certainly the Assyrian merchants would have visited the upper city without any problem. We don't have any records indicating local disputes between ethnic groups. The local Anatolian rulers at Kanesh lived in large palaces in the upper city, and they would be the officials to whom Assyrian merchants paid taxes and gave the rights to the best merchandise in return for conducting their business in Kanesh. Although the exact treaties reporting this are not discovered, we can derive the information from the taxes that are usually imposed, and these are recorded by the Assyrian traders. Usually, there is a 5% charge given to the local rulers and a 10% preferential duty. So in other words, the king can have the rights to look at the best 10% of the goods that he decides he wants to buy. In addition to these taxes, there would be transit dues or fees, and we'll talk about what these were a little bit later on. In return for these taxes and other privileges, the local ruler would protect the merchants against raids, robbery, or any type of holdup. And these were very frequent.